for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, April the 3rd, 1994. Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the final service of the camp meeting.
Glenn asked us before the minister this morning, sing that song again, He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe. That song's been around for many, many years, and people are just now beginning to realize what they're singing.
Amen.
For years, when you walked into the natural realm and carnal mind, that song didn't mean nothing. But we are the resurrection this morning. We know what that song means.
He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owe.
Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Father, that He paid the debt that we could not pay, that I could not pay. I thank you, Father, for what Calvary means to each one of us. And help us this morning, Father, to begin to understand and realize what Jesus has accomplished for us in that He did when He went on the road to Calvary. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have today to look back at that and then to consider what that means to each and every one of us individually in our lives this day as we walk before Thee, Father, and desire to come before You in that place of righteousness and holiness that You would have us to walk in. Father, help us this day to hide Your word in our heart, that we sin not against Thee, that we walk in a path of holiness and righteousness, truly making Jesus and allowing Him to be Lord of my life and our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, a few weeks ago, we looked at this subject, and I am not prone to repeat, and we will not repeat again, just as we studied it before, but we looked at what transpired or took place and what the Lord did for us from Gethsemane to Calvary. You know, Jesus did some things for us, from the garden to the tree. And this morning, we're going to study for a little while what transpired from the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary. Sin is black. Sin is deadly. And it brings death. It brings spiritual death, and it also brings natural death before your time. Sin brings death. But Jesus carried that to Calvary for you and me. If we will allow Him to provide or allow us to accept what He provided for us from the garden to Calvary. This morning, we're going to look at what I believe Jesus did for us from the garden to the tree. We know that through the blood that He shed at Calvary, He brought remission of our sins. That is the greatest and most important thing of Calvary. But there are other things that He accomplished for us also as He walked the road to Calvary, from the garden to Calvary. And I believe, in my studies, and there may be, some of you may find something that's different, but I believe that there are six things that Jesus accomplished that relates to each one of us in our walk with the Lord. I believe that He accomplished six individual things for you and me. And so this morning, we're going to look at that which I believe that He did and that He fulfilled for me and for you as He went to Calvary. We know that He fulfilled the sacrificial laws of the sin offerings. We know that he completed that, and that it is completed, never to be repeated again. And that offering a bull or a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove up for a sin offering is an abomination unto God. For it is making another God and replacing it for what has been accomplished and for what Jesus did for you and me. He accomplished once and for all the sacrificial offerings of the sin offerings that looked forward to Jesus coming to be our Savior and our Redeemer. And not only our Savior and our Redeemer, but also our Healer and our Baptizer. And we're not able to comprehend these things, because if we were able to comprehend it, there would not be any sick amongst us. There would be none that were tormented by demonic spirits. All of these things, if we were able to comprehend and put into reality what Jesus accomplished for us, we would live in a different atmosphere in our individually. So, Lord, help us to understand what You've done for us. Then help us to be able to comprehend it. And then, Lord, give me faith to believe. Lord, help Thou my faith. Help Thou our faith, Lord, that we may believe and comprehend and then appropriate and apply what Jesus has accomplished for you and for me. So, this morning, we will look at some of the scriptures. There are many more. But I have picked out a scripture, that one or two scriptures that applies to each of the things that Jesus accomplished as He went to Calvary. And we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. And in Deuteronomy chapter 21, at the end of the chapter, in verse 22, it says, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged upon a tree is cursed of God." Then I assume that you know that Jesus became that curse. And in Galatians 3:13, it tells us that Jesus became and fulfilled that curse that He bore for you and me. He became my curse, so that the curses of that I have gotten myself under, or the curses of my ancestral heritage that we have that we have come under because of their sins and iniquities, Jesus made a way and provided and made a provision for you and me that we can come out from underneath those curses that torment us and come down and both in the infirmities and in our mind or in other areas of our life. The curses that we have inherited, curses of alcohol and curses of the occult and curses of the bastard and curses of incest, curses of heart trouble, curses of the infirmities of our flesh, sugar, diabetes, and many other infirmities that we may or can or possibly have inherited from our ancestral heritage. I do not contend that all things are from our ancestral heritage, because we have also opened the door to Satan for in areas of our life and allowed him to enter in, and thereby we are responsible. But also, when we do that, we have also allowed Satan a right to transfer that down through our family line from 3 to 4 to 10 generations. And then I believe that that Satan tries to reproduce that in a following generation so that it is never without a continuation. I believe that many of the curses of the Scriptures are a continual... there's a glass sitting there. Bill, pretty please. That many of the curses that are listed in the Scriptures are continual because Satan has reproduced them over and over again in our ancestors behind us. And he's trying to reproduce and will reproduce if we don't stop him in our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So we need to understand these areas and realize that Jesus gives us the authority because he became our curse to break the curses of our ancestral heritage and the curses that we ourselves have gotten under. And we have the right and the authority in Jesus' name to appropriate the fact and tell Satan that it is written that Jesus became my curse. Therefore, Satan, I break the power of any curse that you have a legal right to me. I take your legal rights away, and I bind your power and break it in Jesus' name. For by his blood, he gives me authority to separate that curse from my family heritage. Well, in John chapter 19, we will begin to study here what Jesus has accomplished for us otherwise. But in John chapter 19 and verse 16, it says, "Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified." There, therefore, Pilate delivered Jesus, Jesus, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his original 47:16 of Strong's, says pole, stake, or tree, not cross, that he, bearing his pole or stake, went forth into a place called the Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. I love that song about they crucified my Lord. I can't, but I love that. What the theme and the blessing that carries as we see what happened and through when they crucified my Lord, made a way for you and me. Hallelujah! Now, though our sins be black as night or coal, become white as snow, whiter than the snow. Hallelujah! Verse 34. Says, "And one of the soldiers with his spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water." So we understand, and that we get it impressed upon our minds what happened at Calvary and what transpired between Gethsemane and Calvary. We must understand that when they pierced his side, that was the completion, that's not the word I wanted, but it wouldn't come out, the completion of Jesus' life here on earth as far as concerning the remission and the forgiveness of our sins. He said, and the blood and water that came forth when his side was pierced there on the tree. And over in Luke chapter 22, or back in Luke chapter 22, and verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, this was in Gethsemane. So we're going to look now at what happened from Gethsemane to the crucifixion. And here in Gethsemane, we find that he went and he prayed. And he went three times and prayed and asked them if they could pray with him. And every time he came back and found that they had gone asleep. They were more concerned. Their sleep was more heavy upon them. They did not understand what was taking place. They did not understand that the sins of the universe, the sins of the world, and my sins were at that moment being transferred upon the Lord Jesus. And that in the garden there, he was not only took on our sins, but he took on the pressure of all the sins that would ever be committed, had been, or ever would be committed until the time when the earth was cleansed. The pressure of that was so great that it caused him to sweat drops of blood. The pressure that bore upon him, it literally forced the blood out through the pores of his skin. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Also, I've read that they believe also at the same time that the sac around his heart burst, the water that is in that area there, that burst at that time. And from that time until Calvary, that was broke. And he literally was dying before they ever put him on the cross. I just heard that talk, so I'm just passing it on. But that is possible. Something happened to him that the pressure was so great that he sweat drops of blood through his flesh. So, at Calvary then, or at Gethsemane, he took on our sins. From Gethsemane on, he carried my sin and yours. And then at the cross, there was that which took place that gave us a right to have remission of our sins. They could be washed whiter than snow. So we cannot comprehend or imagine, no matter how you try, I cannot comprehend, I cannot explain, I cannot have the words to describe what happened that Jesus did for you and me at Gethsemane. And then we find from Gethsemane, they took him to Pilate's hall. They came for him. He was betrayed. He was betrayed by the very creation that created him. He was betrayed, and they took him to Pilate's hall. But in the betrayal, he again shows to those there that he is very God. For when they come and ask who he was, he answered and said, "I am." And the power of God went forth from him in such a way that it knocked them to the ground. And they got up and asked again, and he said it the second time. And again, they fell to the ground. Because what he said was, "Yahweh, I am." And the very power of that statement overwhelmed them. They did not understand it because they got up and took him anyway. And he, of course, that he went willingly because he knew from that time on that he was to fulfill the will of the Father. I wonder if we also are willing, when we know the will of the Father, if we then are willing to fulfill that will. Well, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44 here, we read that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and he sweat as it were great drops of blood, it fell to the ground. And then they took him to Pilate's hall, and there he was unlawfully judged. It was against the law, the Roman law, and it was also against the Hebrew law to judge a man without first having witnesses. And it was required that a crier, when a man was to be judged for death, to be crucified or to be put to death in any way, it was required that a crier went through the streets and cried out, said, and asked if there was any witness to come and testify in behalf of this man for or against this man. That was a law, and they bypassed the law. And in other areas, they bypassed the law that night in condemning Jesus to death. In Matthew chapter 27, we will begin to look at what I believe are the six things that transpired now from Pilate's hall to Calvary. And in Matthew 27 and verse 27, Matthew 27:27 says, "Then the soldiers of the governor..." Well, let's read. I don't want to read that. I want to read what I'm reading. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and they planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head." And the first thing that happened to Jesus after he was condemned was the soldiers took him and they planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. Now that to me that says two things. It says that for our pride, that we want to be somebody, we want to be king. Our pride wants us to be somebody. They crowned him the king. They put the crown of thorns upon his head. But it also says that crown of thorns, it pierced the skin of his skull, and the blood ran down his face and dripped on down, that he wore that crown of thorns for the healing of my mind, for the healing of the sorrows and the heartaches of life. He wore that crown of thorns and bled for the healing of my mind and of your mind. And I believe that we can appropriate the crown of thorns that Jesus bore, and appropriated for those who need healing of their minds, for those who have mental problems and areas in their minds. I believe that we can appropriate the fact that Jesus bore the crown of thorns for my mind and for your mind, so that we can have a clear mind and take away that which Satan tries to put upon our minds to cause us depression, to cause us to schizophrenia, or to cause the Alzheimer's disease or other things related to our mind. I believe that we have authority. I don't think we've ever done that. But I believe that we should, in my opinion, I believe that I have authority to use that. Amen. Against Satan in the areas of our mind. So I believe, first of all, that he did for my mind. He wore a crown of thorns to break my pride. I have no pride. And for the mental torments and the areas of my mind for which Satan comes to torment us and to cause us problems. Okay. Then, let's go to Mark chapter 15. The second thing that I believe happened on the road to Calvary. Mark 15 and verse 19 says, Mark 15, verse 19, says, "And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshiping him, and they mocked him." I believe that Jesus bore that for my shame and for my shame and for my filthiness. I believe that he was spit upon, filthy, for my filthiness. I believe that he was mocked for my shame. And I believe that by that we have a right to claim and appropriate the blood of Jesus, because Jesus was mocked and Jesus bore my shame. We can appropriate that for the shame that we sometimes have gotten ourselves under deliberately. Or a lot of times it's been not of our own doing, but regardless of how, that Jesus bore my shame. He took my shame and the filthiness of life that we have gotten ourselves into, some of us, some more than others, but some things that people have gotten into are so filthy, they're past even talking about. But God came through Jesus to make a way to cleanse us of our filthiness. And I believe that that's why Jesus was spat upon, and I believe that's why he was mocked, so that there would be a cleansing for you and my filthiness. The third thing that I think that transpired between the garden and Calvary, we find, let's look at Matthew chapter 27. We're back to where we were a moment ago, and we will now read verse 26. And he released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So the third thing that happened to Jesus was Pilate had him scourged, whipped. That's what it means. 39 stripes minus one. Isaiah 53. We can almost quote that without turning there, but let's go over to Isaiah 53. Oh, what a promise this is. Now, it isn't a promise, it's what he did for us. But in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities," or my lawlessness. "And the chastisement of my peace," or soundness, "was placed upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed." So, the third thing that he accomplished was healing for our physical bodies. By his stripes, we are healed. And I think we need to learn how to apply and appropriate the whipping post that Jesus suffered for you and me. For by his scars and stripes, he made a way for the healing of our physical bodies. And I believe that we can come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I do, and I believe that you can. We can come in the name of the Lord Jesus and say, "Body, in the name of Jesus, I appropriate the scars and stripes of the Lord Jesus that he suffered at the whipping post for the infirmity of in this body. And in the name of Jesus, I appropriate it for this body. Be healed in Jesus' name." And I believe we have that authority. Now, Father, help us to have the faith to believe that when we speak it, it will be so. Lord, increase our faith so that we believe that it is written. And we tell Satan, "Satan, it is written." And help us to be able to appropriate the authority that God has given us through his word. For he has made provisions for us, for all these areas of our body. Now, he's made provision for our mind. He's made provision for our filthiness. He's made provision for our healing. Now, let's look at the fourth thing that I believe Jesus had made provision for us. In Matthew 27 also, verse 35 of Matthew 27. And here, in the 35th verse, says, "And they crucified him." What did they do? They nailed him to the tree. And so, in nailing him to the tree, I believe that he did something for us besides just salvation for us. They nailed him to the tree. First, how did they nail him first? His hands. They nailed his hands. Now, regardless of what I think or you think, I believe that he was nailed this way, personally. The nails went through his wrist, not through his hands, because it would have pulled out and wouldn't have held. It says hands. But I believe that his hands were nailed to the tree for the work of my hands. That he did that my work of my hands would be purified and be a holy work unto the Lord.
that in being nailed to the hand, his hands being nailed to the tree, he sanctified the work of my hands. That my labors will be could be a sanctified labor holy unto the Lord. That my labors would be dedicated, the labor of my hands would be dedicated unto the Lord. I believe that that was the purpose of his hands being nailed to the tree, was for the labor of my hands to be sanctified and to be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Then in Luke chapter 23, let's look at the fifth thing that I believe happened to Jesus when he was nailed to the tree. In Luke 23 and verse 33. Again, we will read similar to what we read in Matthew. And it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." So there we find it recorded in Luke that Jesus was crucified at a place called Calvary. And there they nailed his feet to the tree. And I believe that in nailing his feet to the tree, it was nailed there for my walk and your walk, that we might walk a walk of righteousness and holiness, that the pathway that we walk might be a walk of righteousness unto the Lord, that our feet might walk in the way of holiness and in the way of righteousness and not in the way of sin and degradation, that we would be able to walk that straight and narrow path, the way of holiness, and not go the wide way of destruction, but walk the narrow way and walk it in righteousness and holiness, that it be acceptable unto the Lord. So I believe that he was nailed to the tree. His feet were nailed for my walk and your walk unto the Lord, that we might walk a walk of righteousness and a walk of holiness unto the Lord Jesus. And then the sixth reason that Jesus was put on Calvary. It was for my sins and yours. And when he said, "It is finished," he completed what he came to do. He completed the way of salvation for you and me and for all mankind. He made a way that sinful man could find their way back to God. He made a way that we no longer had to come through animals and sacrifices. But now the veil was rent. When he said, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent. And I understand that through Josephus that it was rent from corner to corner and not down the middle. And I understand that it was a minimum of 6 inches thick, wove out of camel hair. A minimum of 6 inches. And that veil didn't come down this way, but it went from the corner to the corner. And through that rending of that veil, we now have access to God. I don't have to come through a mediator or a priest. There are those who can help us, but we have access personally to the throne of God. We can come into that place, into that holy place, into a place of personal communication with the Lord Jesus. And we need to come into that place more than we do. We need to seek to know the Lord Jesus. We need to seek to know him who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We need to desire. We need to, if we don't have that desire, we need to ask the Lord to give us that desire. And we'll have a desire to know the Lord Jesus, and to know him as a personal Savior, a personal guide and direction to our lives, and that the Holy Ghost will come and abide with us, that it may be our guide in the times of trouble, in the times of need, and in the times of just praising the Lord. That's the time we really need the Holy Ghost, is just to praise the Lord with. And then he'll be there when we need him the other times. So, the six things, these are the six things that I believe Jesus accomplished for us from the garden to the cross, from the garden to Calvary. I believe that Jesus accomplished these six things for each one of us, for our mind, for our filthiness, for our labors, for our walk, and for the cleansing of our sins. That Jesus came and paid the price for you and me. There's no way that we can comprehend, no way that I can stand here. I wish I had the ability to stand here and to describe to you the scene of Calvary. There are some that I have heard able to do it in a small way, but I am not capable of describing what we would see if we were standing today at the foot of Calvary with Jesus. I thank God that He's a risen Christ. We are not serving a man hanging on a cross somewhere. And we do not have a cross that's a God. We do not have a cross that has a crucified Savior hanging on it. We have a Savior who is a risen Savior. And He's no longer on the tree. But He's risen from the grave. And He's alive and He lives forevermore. And I hope that He lives in you. And I know that He lives in me. And I trust that if He doesn't live in you, you will ask Him to come and to live and to make Him a living reality in your heart and life.
Amen.
For without Jesus, there's no other way of remission of sins. For there is no other way given unto men whereby men may be saved except through the shed blood of Calvary of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I believe that blood that flowed down and came to cleanse you and me and flowed unto the earth and was dissipated into the ground that day. Somehow, some way, Jesus came, Gabriel came, but I believe Jesus did it Himself. But I believe Jesus came and collected up that blood. And when He said to Mary, don't touch me. I've got to ascend to my Father and your Father.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
When He said to Mary, don't touch me. I've got to ascend to my Father and your Father. I believe that He carried that blood and took it and placed it on the altar before the throne. And I believe that that blood is there today. And I believe that that blood will be there throughout all the eternity. I believe it will be there for a reminder of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And I believe that blood is alive and living and flowing and moving. And I believe that it will stand there for us to know that through that blood we've washed whiter than snow. I believe that it is a sign for all eternity of what God did through Jesus and what Jesus did for you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Well, in Mark chapter 15, let's read over here. Praise you, Jesus. In Mark 15, we'll read verse 24. It says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the subscription of his accusation was written over him, the king, king of the Jews. I prefer to read that king of the Hebrews. For he's not only king of the Jews, he's king of all Israel. He's king of whosoever will. He's not just king of the Jews. He's king of Joseph. He's king of Manasseh. He's king of Ephraim. He's king of Dan. He's king. He's my king. He's your king. He's king of Israel. He's king of whosoever will call upon his name. He is my king. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, that the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors, of which you and I both were and are transgressors, except by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then, in verse 34, it says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And in another scripture he cried with a loud voice and said, it is finished. But I believe here that Jesus, it says he was crucified at the ninth hour, or at the third hour, and at the ninth hour he cried, it is finished. At the ninth hour they began the sacrificial offering of the Day of Atonement. And at that very time when the priest started the sacrificial offering, Jesus completed the sacrificial offerings once and for all. He finished and completed them for you and me. It was finished. He said, it is finished. But 6 hours, Jesus was on the tree. For 6 hours, he hung there. And man's number is six. He hung there for man. He also, the time that we know, that we consider 6,000 years, 6 days, I believe also that it applies to the sixth day, the 6,000 years of mankind until the kingdom comes. I believe that it applies both to me as man. I believe it applies to the age of the earth of sin, to cover all the sin of mankind and to release the man from sin. And that can be appropriated. And you see, he came also for those who were waiting for him Abraham, in Abraham's bosom, in paradise. For those that were in paradise waiting. And it says that Jesus went and preached to them and set the captives free. So I believe that that 6 days also went back through time to Adam, and covered the sins of man from Adam till now and until the day when sin shall be no more. So I find this the six areas that I believe that Jesus accomplished for you and me. In John 19 and verse 30 is where Jesus cries that it is finished. Here in John 19 and verse 30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And when he said that, my sins and yours, we had a way to find our way back to God. Rebellious man now had a way to return to the God that he had rebelled against. And then Jesus made that possible for us. John chapter 20, and starting with verse 24. It said, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands and feet, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Now we say we call him Doubting Thomas.
I don't know, I'm not so sure about that. He didn't, it wasn't that he doubted. He wanted the proof. He wanted to handle that which they were telling him about. And so, says, after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Shalom, peace be unto you. Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy fingers, and place them in my hands or in my feet, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be thou not faithless. Lord, help us. Help our unbelief. Help us not to be faithless. Lord, help us to have faith to believe that it is written. Where did I get lost then? 27. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And Father, we're part of those. And Father, I believe. I believe, Lord. I believe that Jesus lives and that He died for me and that He's risen from the dead and that He lives forevermore. Hallelujah. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing in Him, you might have life through His name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for life through the Lord Jesus. But He also said, in another place, Jesus said, that these signs that I do, you shall do also, and greater than these shall ye do. And Lord, we're expecting to see that come to pass in my lifetime. Hallelujah. Help us to believe, Lord, and to be able to appropriate your word so that these things will happen that you have promised us. We thank you for all that's taking place, all that is happening. But, Father, I thank you for it happening in my lifetime. Well, I want to go back to Isaiah again. And I want to read one more time from Isaiah 53. Verse 13. Behold, my servant Jesus shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which he had been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. But who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord extended? He's extended to me and to you. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, Jesus, as a root out of dry ground. For he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with my grief and yours. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne my griefs and sickness, and carried my sorrow and pain. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. For he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities and my lawlessness. For the chastisement of my peace or soundness was placed upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, every one of us, Lord. We've turned our way, everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity or the lawlessness of every one of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Somebody talks about you or riles you, can you keep your mouth shut? He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Father, we declare the generation of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hell, I lose my place. Amen. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant Jesus justify many, for he shall bear my iniquities or lawlessness. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. For he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What is it? Psalms 100 and... What psalm? There's a psalm that come to my mind that I want to read. What is it, Tommy? Bind them with chains. Psalms 149. I want to read that. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in our Maker, Jesus, him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and the harp. Let the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Hallelujah! And a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. That don't sound like a God that says that he's going to forgive everybody. He said to execute the judgment that's written, and it's written in this book what the judgment is. This honor, it's an honor to execute that judgment, it says, has all his saints. Bless God, we're his saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Well, these are the six things I believe that Jesus done for us from Gethsemane to Calvary. He took care of the problems of my mind with the crown. Also, he humbled us from pride. He took care of my shame and my filthiness. He took care of my healing by his stripes. There's healing. Father, help us to be able to understand. Give us the faith to believe. He took care of the labor of my hands, that I would have labor of righteousness and holiness unto the Lord. He took care of my walk, that I might walk a walk of righteousness in the paths of righteousness, that my feet might tread that path of holiness unto the Lord. And then he took care of my sins. But all of them are equal in reality. Of course, we look at the fact that he took care of my sins. And that is wonderful. But we need to look at the other areas also and appropriate to our lives that which has been provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That which he came to fulfill when he said, it is finished. And then we know that in fulfilling Calvary, that then he also told them to tarry till he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they went and tarried, and now the Holy Spirit is available to us to give us guidance and direction and give us wisdom and to be a comforter to us in the time of need and to help us to understand and to rightly divide the Scripture so that we can rightly divide the Word of the Lord and apply it to our lives and give us a correct understanding. There are so many things that we have been taught by tradition that we need to study for ourselves and see that if tradition has not taught us correctly in many areas. I thank God for my heritage. I thank God for what I've learned and what I was taught. But I thank God that in many areas I'm finding that in some of the areas I was taught, the Scripture doesn't substantiate and back up that which I was taught. So I thank the Lord that He's bringing us into an area of revelation in this hour and this day so that we can be the household, the people of the Lord, to walk in that place of righteousness for the Lord. You know, over in Luke chapter 24, the women went to the sepulchre in the morning after, I believe, Jesus had already arisen from the grave. I believe that He arose at sunset and that He was already gone. I believe the angels had been sitting there ever since. I don't believe any angels had to roll the stone away or do that. I think that stone moved of its own accord because Jesus was the creator of it anyway. I believe that stone just rolled back over there and when they came and found the empty tomb and then they were afraid and perplexed and when they saw the angels. And the angels said to them, they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And in Revelation chapter 1, we find here that John saw Jesus. And when he did, in verse 5, he said, "Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto our God." He's alive. He lives. Christ Jesus lives. He lives forevermore. And I want us to come, Phil. Pray. I want us, in closing this morning, I want us to sing that song that He lives. Christ Jesus lives. And I trust that if He doesn't live in your heart, in your life, you will make Him Lord of your life today. You'll make Him Lord of lords and King of kings. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. This morning, I trust that as we look back at Calvary, we can also look ahead to see a risen Christ who is coming to be King, who is King, but He's coming one day when all eyes shall see and all kingdoms of the earth will know that He is King and He will take the place of authority and rulership and He will rule forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord of lords and King of kings, and Jesus is His name. Let's stand.
He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He lives when I stare away. He lives, He lives, salvation to mercy. I hear His voice of cheer And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy's blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Sing it! He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
Praise the Lord!
He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to
of the living Christ is in our midst. You all feel, I feel almost like I'm afraid to move.
For behold, my children, I have walked with you and I have touched you. For yea, I have tabernacled in this place, and yea, I have touched your lives, and I have changed you. And many of you have felt my presence, and you have felt my healing touch. For yea, I have performed many miracles in this place, and I have set many free, and I have touched many bondages, and I have touched many illnesses, and I have restored what the enemy has stolen. So, my children, I say unto you, as you go forth from here, go forth in great joy, knowing that I am with you, that I will be with you, and yea, I shall never leave you or forsake you, but I shall go forth with you. So go forth in joy and proclaim my name. Go forth in joy and proclaim the message of salvation and deliverance. Go forth and claim the message and deliver it to the suffering of the world. For yea, I died for everyone. Yea, and it is my desire that everyone should come to a saving knowledge. So yea, go forth and claim this message to the saving lost humanity, that they may come into my fold, saith the Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we're like Peter standing on the mountain, Lord Jesus. We feel the presence of the Almighty God. And we say, oh, Lord, let us build tabernacles and stay here. But, oh, no, we have to go back down the mountain where the crowd is waiting, where they are trying, where they are the demon-possessed child is waiting for us to come. So, yea, I say to you, my children, go forth now and proclaim my name. Cast out demons, heal the sick, and proclaim my name to the ends of the earth, saith the Lord.
Well, we trust you'll be back again. It's always hard to say goodbye in the last service. Every camp meeting, it's hard to say, just to say goodbye. But we have to carry on. Life goes on. And so we have to carry on with it. And so to those of you who are leaving this afternoon, the angel of the Lord go with you and watch over you. To those of you who stay, they've got are not going to go right now. They've got some lunch ready for you to eat. And then to those of you who will be here this evening, we'll have prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And of course, there's prayer meeting here anytime. You can come in here and pray 24 hours a day if you want to. That's fine. We'll have prayer meeting at 7 o'clock tonight. Some of you can pray as long as you want, all night if you want to. But some of the rest of us will not stay too long. We'll go to get some rest that we've missed out on. So, and those of you that will be here till tomorrow or the next day, well, we'll take care of each day as it comes along. So just make yourself at home, and there will be something to... We have prayer meeting in the morning at 8 o'clock. We'll have prayer meeting here before we start to work. And then those of you that are here, well, they'll get some cereal or some eggs, toast or something for you to eat. So we'll worry. We'll take care of that when the time comes. It's not time today to be concerned about that, so we'll do that when the time comes. The Lord bless you.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.